Hi, this is Fabi Fab.
And this is Fabelito.
And we are
Latinos for Lunch,
a podcast about
tacos. Burritos y semitas.
Ay.
Today we are eating a delicious breakfast burrito. But it's a chorizo.
Breakfast with chorizo, burrito. Eggs. What else is in there?
Papas. Cheese. And a lot of grease. Oh, and a tortilla flour.
Flour tortilla. Vamos a aprender español. Okay. Inglés, actually. So.
Don't be nervous, Justin.
I'm not nervous. I'm a natural. This is me. This is my life. This is my authentic self.
Órale, pues.
Okay.
So we thought we will start. We opened this space to talk about a lot of things that the podcast out there do not cover. We have been inspired by a lot of things regarding issues of race and gender and pop culture, but nothing very specific for Latinos. So we thought we will start this, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I've been listening to podcasts for years and been really inspired lately by social conscious podcasts like Another Round, The Read, Black Girls Talking, and all those podcasts that I mentioned are by black people for black people, even though everybody else is listening, even you white people. So, I thought it would be cool to have a podcast with two Latinos talking about the issues that are important to us, or just doing a little research on things that we feel is important, because, you know, we aren't really taught about Latino culture in school.
Yeah, and just to suppress or highlight those categories, like, what the hell is a Latino? What does it mean? What is your identity? What is my identity? And this is one of the reasons why we're starting that today. So we'll talk about that today. We'll talk about who we are, how do we identify, and then in the future, those ideas will come into perspective as we'll talk about things like tacos, arte, Selena, Caifanes, Eva Longoria, I don't know. Like, whatever we feel like talking.
We don't need to talk about her. No, I'm just kidding.
Shout out to Eva.
Shout out to Eva. Yeah, so let's talk about you, Babelito.
You want me to start?
Sure.
What?
Sure. Can you pass my taco? I ordered a taco, too.
Espérame. Déjame. Bueno. Déjame. Okay. You guys have to get used to us eating and talking, because, you know.
Girl, you don't have to explain nothing. Just do
you're
it.
You're right. Fuck it. Okay. My name is Emmanuel Ortega. This is the first and last time I'm going to say that. But I go by Babelito. So I'm Babelito. I'm 7 years old. And I don't like to identify myself as an academic, but I am working towards that route. I study art history. More specifically, I look into the art history and painting of 18th century Mexico and everything that comes with that. All the context, the historical, the religious, the psychological, you name it. But I'm most interested in looking into the context of race and gender and how it's been worked out in these paintings. And my passion, besides that, is going to concerts. So you're going to hear a lot of things about music. I tend to ignore the issues that I see in my art, in my art history. I tend to ignore that in a lot of the pop culture that I am into, but this will be a different space, so I think we will talk a lot about that stuff. That's me in a nutshell, and your turn.
No, I have more questions.
Okay. So, no. Let's start with that, and then we'll ask each other questions.
Okay. I guess you're in charge.
Yes.
Okay, so my name is Justin Favela. I go by Favi. People started calling me that in high school because of my last name, Favela. I'm an artist, visual artist. I usually make sculpture. And most of my work right now is about my identity as a Latino American. I took a big risk last year, quit my day job, and now I'm a full-time artist, which means I have no money. So it's an interesting life. I'm happy I made that decision. Sure, I'm like working odd jobs here and there just to pay rent, but I'm really going to try to do this artist thing. And being socially conscious and just being aware of the issues that are happening, you know, before I didn't really care about that kind of stuff, but now that I'm getting older, trying to figure out what my purpose is in life. it's becoming more important to me.
It's central.
Yeah, to have a voice and to, you know, make work for myself, make work for my people, and make work that, you know, make more opportunities for people that think like us, sound like us, look like us,
act like us, talk like us, eat like us.
Oh, so many people eat like us.
Todo.
Treat each other like... Okay, so... Yeah, so that's me in a nutshell. I mean...
We're both from Las Vegas. I have been here since 1999. My family moved here from El Paso. Prior to that, we lived in Juarez. And I consider myself a... it's going to sound super cheesy and stupid, but I consider myself a child of the Southwest, meaning Chihuahua, Arizona, Nuevo Mexico, Nevada. But my home is Las Vegas, and I think you can say the same thing, Justin.
Born and raised in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Whoop, whoop.
Battle born. I'm very proud Las Vegan. I love this place.
Las Vegan? No?
Las Vegan?
Is that Las Vegans? I don't know. Because it's Las Vegan apostrophe
Las
S.
Vegan from Las Vegas.
Okay. You know better. You're from here. I'm not.
So wait, where were you born?
I was born in L.A. And then I was 5 months old, and then we moved to Juarez because my dad hated the states. Okay. Nothing about the states he liked. So he wanted to go back where he was born, in a small town in Chihuahua, but his family lived in Juarez. And that's where I grew up. I went to elementary school, junior high, and then when I started ninth grade, high school, that's when we moved to El Paso.
Ninth grade, high school.
Yeah, so I started high school in the States, and then we moved to, we came here. So I did only 2 years of high school here in Vegas.
Oh, interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah.
So, Babelito and I met, like,
tell
two,
where.
3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
You don't remember?
I do remember. I was working for... the Liberace Foundation.
Ooh!
I was the gallery manager for the show at the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas. And Babelito walked in with one of our mutual friends, and that's where I met him. So, ever since then,
hey,
it's been a magical friendship.
That's right. Not ever since then, because he said he was going to send me an email, and it took him months. But anyway,
ooh,
that's besides the point.
Facts are not important here. You are so dumb. Okay. Yeah, so Emmanuel, like you said, he doesn't consider himself an academic.
No, because that carries too much responsibility, and I'm not going to do
it. Anyway, he teaches art history, so I've learned a lot from him. I've been taking a lot of art history classes, getting to know my history, because when I was in school, in art school, there wasn't even a Mexican art history class offered.
Or Mexican history, for that matter.
Yes, exactly. I've been taking a lot of his classes, been learning a lot, and a lot of my artwork has actually changed because of that. Spent some time in Mexico last year at a residency out there. It was really cool. I think you've really shaped my art practice in the last couple of years.
It's too early in the podcast's history to start crying.
I'm not crying. I have allergies.
Wait, But I want to know more about your upbringing. So you are from Las Vegas, but where is your family from? Why do you consider yourself Latino?
Where are you from? No, like, where are you really from?
Don't you love it when they ask you
that? Yeah. No, but where's your family from?
You don't look American.
You're not from here, are you? So anyway, yeah. My mother is Guatemalteca, from Guatemala, and my father's from Mexico. Northern Mexico, Durango. So, growing up, I actually identified more with my Guatemalan side because my mom raised me, and I would go to my dad's side on the weekends because my mom and dad split up when I was really little. But as I started growing up, I started to identify more with my Mexican heritage, and now that I look back at it, it really started like around middle school, high school, because like Guatemala... A lot of people don't even know where Guatemala is, so...
Some people think it's in Mexico.
Yeah, so it was easy for people to say, oh, you're Mexican? Okay, great. Like, where's the best taco spot? Like, can you try my guacamole, see if it's good? You know, so, like, that became my main identity as a Mexican-American. And now that I've learned more, I'm still very proud Guatemalan, but even now with my art and stuff, I'm mostly talking about my Mexican side.
Okay.
And before I remember I used to get mad when people identified me as Mexican. Yeah. They're like, no, I'm Guatemalan. Because I was so proud to be Guatemalan, and I even had a Guatemalan accent and everything, but I've lost it over the years.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I cannot imagine you.
Because I watched a lot of, you know, I've been around you fucking Mexicanos too long.
So this is a question. So you never questioned your identity as a Latino. You questioned your identity according to borderlines then. So either you were Guatemalan or Mexican, and now you're thinking more about in broader terms. Is that what you're telling me?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. I don't know what the fuck you just asked.
Because I didn't have to think about this things till later. It wasn't until I started going, like Justin said, to Arquitopia, to the artist residency that and the board of directors of, and he went and took this residency there. But
so Arquitopia is a residency program in Puebla, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
So I've been going there for 5 years. Yeah, like 5 years now, and all of a sudden I was pushed to be identified as something else besides Mexican. I was Norteño. I was from the north. I was the guy that it wasn't from Puebla. And I never really thought about it in those terms. Mm-hmm. So I was just Mexican for the longest time. And all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, no. Like, I eat carne asada with tortillas de harina, you know? And that's different than eating mole and, I don't know, like, tacos árabes, which is what they, like, people eat there. But so I really started thinking about identity in terms of regions, not necessarily in borders. But what I'm trying to ask here is you're talking about one or the other, either Guatemala or Mexico, and are you thinking in different terms now? Quiet silence.
Am I thinking in different
terms? Yeah, because you said first you're like, I identify myself as Guatemalan, and then I identify myself as Mexican.
It's always changing. Like, okay. I feel like I'm losing touch with my Guatemalan side. Even my family, I see myself hanging out more with my Mexican side as of late, but I want to go back to my Guatemalan side too. So it's like this balance, and I've had to do it ever since I was little. I remember when I was, you know, 5 or 6, like my Mexican side making fun of the way I said stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So from a very young age, I learned how to switch the accent or just say things differently so that I wouldn't be different.
Survival skills.
Okay.
Latino survival skills here and Latinos who lunch. Yeah, and it's I don't think that's something that people think about. I don't think that's something that people realize that we have to do. Like, you have to negotiate identity even when you're a kid, which is, I don't know, which is crazy to think about that. But I never really thought about it because I grew up in Juarez and then El Paso. And it was that. It was Southwest. It was the North. Everybody knew exactly what I was talking about. And it wasn't until I actually went deeper in Mexico, which is, I don't know, it's crazy, that came into question. But anyway, what part of Mexico is your dad from?
Durango.
Durango?
Near Tepehuanes. It's just like, it's a small pueblo, like in a movie. Like, have you ever been to Universal Studios tour? There's like that Mexico set that gets flooded.
That's what it looks
like. It looks like
that. Like Rango?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never been to Durango. I heard it's beautiful.
Durango.
se me sale lo chicano de repente.
I know, me too. Like Yolanda Saldivar.
Yeah. Recently, Justin had a talk, and he kept referring to Yolanda Saldivar as Yolanda Saldivar. Ay, Dios.
It's hard. Because when you're speaking English, you want to, like, just keep... Okay, like, for example... Have you ever watched Everyday Italian with Giada De Laurentiis?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh my God. So she's like, okay, today we're going to make spaghetti. And you're like, bitch, it's spaghetti.
But that's supposed to be the way you pronounce
Parmigiano
it.
Reggiano. Like, girl, that's Parmesan cheese. We get it. Your family's from Italy. Like,
but there's certain things that you shouldn't translate. Like Yolanda Saldivar, you know?
Yeah, but if I'm in that mode,
okay,
I'm not gonna say Taco Bell. I'm gonna say Taco Bell because I'm in a certain, you know, your brain's like in
one language. Okay,
but sometimes it comes out different. It just depends. It depends. Whatever's fastest.
It depends on the audience too. I will bet if you will have a talk with more Latinos in it, you will switch back and forth.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
It's about, again, survival skills.
Sure.
Identity survival skills.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
I mean, we're just living in this world that doesn't need us. What do we do? What else?
No, I think it's, I don't know, I think it's exciting that... We're going to get to talk about these things because I wish I would have grown up with a radio show like it or like a TV show like it. We had to pick and choose. We had to see things on TV or in movies and find something that we identify with and go with that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, hopefully we can open a bigger dialogue, you know?
Yeah, looking back, I think the reason why Selena is so important to a lot of...
Happy birthday, Selena.
Happy birthday. It's your birthday today. So, this is another thing. I'll put a pin in it. I'll go back with Selena. But Selena, like the movie Selena, right, that came out in the 90s, mm-hmm, with Jennifer Lopez. I'm thinking about it now. It was one of the first times that I saw a Chicana represented in mass media, right?
It was probably... One of the first times, no.
There's other movies like Stand and Deliver.
Yeah.
And, but as like the main, like Richie Valens, he doesn't count. But, you know, like La Bamba, whatever. But,
isn't that funny how like the Chicanos have to die tragically in order to get that movie?
Oh. Played by a white Native American man. Jesus Christ.
Oh, Lord. Amen.
So, but what was I saying? Oh. But really, yeah, like you said, it's important to hear our voices, and because people, you know, people wouldn't see themselves in those places without certain films or certain celebrities in positions of not even power, but just, mm-hmm, just in the limelight. One of the first probably brown people that I remember seeing on TV was Maria on Sesame Street.
Okay.
She's Puerto Rican.
I never watched Sesame Street.
Yep. Jesus. Where?
I was watching
El Chavo del Ocho. Plaza Sesamo? Get on that shit.
Yeah, they did, but I don't know.
Okay. So, yeah, so hopefully, I mean, I'm not saying, like, I'm Maria from Sesame Street, but, you know, it's nice to create these opportunities, and people, this is another thing, Raza, stop complaining. And fucking do
and
something.
And do something,
about it.
Yes.
And that's not just brown people, that's everybody. You white people complain more than anybody, please.
Boom.
Oh, yes, and another thing, if you're waiting in line, please stop complaining. We're all waiting in line. This is the thing that white people always do that really pisses me off. Oh my gosh. Like, yes, we're here. We know it's ridiculous. You don't have to say it out loud. Just like calm your ass down. The energy you're giving out is very negative. Like, it's okay. If you're in line, they're like, this is ridiculous. Can you believe this?
privilege works yes. in mysterious ways. That is my that's my catchphrase. I'm gonna coin that right now. And also, we thought we will have this space because I have questions about Justin's Latino identity and upbringing, as he has questions about my Mexicano identity and upbringing. And I think it's two different things, and it's two different worlds. And there's certain he assumes that I watch a certain movie or a certain show because we both, again, maybe look the same or sound the same, and I do the same thing with him. But the reality is that the world that I grew up in, I mean, this idea of being inspired by a brown star never really crossed my mind when I was a kid. Like, I didn't think about it. It wasn't until I was in grad school when one of my advisors is like, oh, you know, like, racism occurs in Mexico. And that blew my mind, and I had a fight with him. So these certain ideas that it... In Mexico, for example, we don't talk about it as much. Things are changing, thankfully. But, I don't know, put them in contrast. So, you'll talk about who you are as a Latino in the U.S., and I'll talk about as being a Mexicano.
Well, what are we talking about? US. Let's talk about it.
Just explaining? Okay, so, let's find an
okay,
example.
Okay, so here.
Okay.
So, you obviously have an accent. You...
Adorable, by the way.
Sure,
girl.
And I feel like you're actually more comfortable speaking in Spanish than in English, which I'm the opposite.
A lot more, yeah.
Because
so we're not that similar after all.
We're not that similar, you and I. And it was so funny because I was at a party recently, and. At Lance's house, mm-hmm. and his friend Tony's there. He's like that drag queen dress designer kid.
Yeah.
And he's like, and his boyfriend is white. And we were kikiing about like The Love Boat and like Gilligan's Island, like old TV shows and shit.
I hate that you were white.
No, and he's like, where were you raised? Why do you know all these shows? Like, what do you. And I just said, I don't know. I used to watch a lot of TV when I was a kid. So like, my reality was like, old TV for a long time, like that's all I watched, and I remember just being like in that. I was just like so like taken by like Hollywood and like those early TV shows when I was little.
You were into those early TV shows because that's what your family liked, or that's because that was available on TV? Because
we had three channels and that was it.
Okay,
we weren't living in a world of YouTube where you can just like watch any cartoon you want.
That blows my mind. YouTube blows my mind. But anyway.
So, yeah. And I used to watch a shit ton of PBS. Like, all the shows on PBS.
Thank God. For PBS.
Thank God. But that's why... I think that's one of the reasons I love food so much. I would watch all them cooking shows. Julia Childs.
Was there any...
Jacques Pepin.
Was there any...
Yan Can Cook.
Was there any Latino cooking star... How did I think of... I don't think there was.
Not on
there?
PBS.
Because I grew up with Chepina. That's what was Chepina? Coming in. That's her name. It's called... It, she was Chepina, I think. And she looked a little bit... Now that I think about it, she looked a little bit like Julia Child. So it's almost like the answer... The Mexican answer of Julia Child. And she will make things with... You know, with... With McCormick.
Lowry's.
Yeah. But, But she was amazing, and that the role of a figure cooking in Mexico was Chepina. So the contrast of having an Asian dude or girl or Italian or French in TV again was never a question. This is what I'm saying. Why certain things, and plus we're conditioned like that in Mexico. When I was growing up, I think there were two TV stations. You had what today is TV Azteca and the evil minds of Televisa, and that's it. So it's almost like identity is tied directly to those corporations, which is so fucked up. It's so fucked up. But that's going to be a separate show about Televisa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well.
Thank God for editing.
I don't know. I'm not going to edit this shit. So... Yeah, let's talk more about our identities, right? So I identify as Latino.
Mm-hmm.
You identify as Southwestern.
I don't even know. Like, it's what you said. It depends. It depends on where you're at. I don't want to say I'm Mexican because that also carries a lot of weight. And there's a lot of aspects about Mexican culture that I just don't appreciate. Just like there's a lot of aspects about the U.S. that I don't appreciate. It's just like I think I don't like the idea of being bounded by borderlines. That's my problem. So coming up with a category is always like, but my upbringing, the people, the food, it's all Mexican. So if it will come down to it, I'm Mexican. Like I'm a proud Mexican. So.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's I'm in Puebla and I'm norteño.
Yeah.
And historically everything north of Mexico it was considered Chichimeca, uncivilized. It wasn't part of the main imaginary of what Mexico's supposed to be, of Mexico City, of the Valley of Mexico. I remember even growing up when they will give a number on the TV, please call this number and blah, 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 if you're in the metropolitan area. And everybody else in the rest of the country had a separate number. So if there was a contest and you didn't live in the Valley of Mexico, then there was... So there's two numbers. It's almost like a reflection of the identity. You call the number that reflects the Area Metropolitana, or you call the number in the interior. That's how mm-hmm. they call it. And I remember thinking that. I'm like, huh, either I'm from Mexico City or I'm not from Mexico City. And that's true about everything. How the art world works today, how the food world works today. And so, I don't know. It's complicated, I guess.
Yeah, I did notice when I was in Mexico or when I've been to Mexico, there's definitely a class system in place there.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it's in the United States too, but it's more apparent there.
Mm-hmm.
Especially based on race or color.
Yeah.
Also.
We don't like to think about it like that though. Like Mexicanos right. don't like to think about, we're not racist. We might be classist, but we're not racist, which is of course bullshit. But
yeah,
it's all tied together.
Growing up Guatemalan and Mexican.
Yeah.
Ugh, that... Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I hate myself. Like,
and I remember growing up too. Like, we were from the north. We were tall. We were white. We were mm-hmm. from more of European heritage. And people from the south were like sotacos and morenos. And that was supposed to be a bad thing. And it's still used today. It's like it blows my mind. It's very annoying because all of that is tied to history. It's tied to race. And again, we don't have those conversations yet. I think in the academic world, you're starting to see that. And in the popular world, very slowly, there's one show that right now it's on Netflix, but you have to be in Mexico to watch it. It's called Crónicas de Casta. So it's a show about this rich white girl in this moreno kid who lives, she lives in the outskirts where all the people with money lived, and he lives downtown. And the mom has a motel, and the mom is from Spain. So it's about the interactions of people that live within that neighborhood of Tepito and then outside of that neighborhood. So it's always talking about the caste system that started in the colonial period, which we will have a show about the caste system. But just the term casta, we don't use it to talk about race or identity or gender, but now you're starting to see that. But again, it's a small little Netflix show that nobody knows about, but it's so dramatic and it's so good. You have to watch it. We have to find it because it's hard to get it here yeah. in the States. But anyway, I forgot my point, but you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
I've had too much coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, an issue that I always hear on the radio, on other podcasts, like, you know, not that there isn't any Latino podcast, because there is. You
yeah.
know, there's the big ones, Latino USA.
Radio Ambulante,
which
is brilliant,
amazing.
A brilliant, brilliant show.
Yeah. I have to stop listening to it sometimes because it's depressing.
It's super depressing.
But they're great, though.
Yeah, no, it's like
it's real.
Let's no, because it's journalism. Yeah,
it's yeah. The world is a sad place. All Latino is another podcast.
Julio Salgado in San Francisco is also working on his podcast and YouTube channel, and they talk about things that I haven't heard kids talk about in podcasts before.
What is it called?
I have no idea. Okay.
Thanks for bringing it up.
But it's who you know, Julio Salgado. He's regionally speaking, he's a renowned artist. He works with Resistencia posters, and he's great. But anyway, shout out to him and those of you who know who he is.
So a big issue is like your identity, right? Like, what do you identify? What's the differences between Latino, Hispanic, Chicano?
Yeah, but I hate Hispanic because it just
say it. Why? Tell me more.
Because it ties us to Spain.
Ugh.
And we ain't indebted to Spain at all. Like, So Hispanic, no. Just I guess it's people that speak Spanish, but no, no, señor.
Hispanic means
that's what I understand when people say Hispanic
means speak Spanish.
That they speak Spanish, but it also ties us to a Hispanic heritage from Spain.
Yeah,
like we don't live in the colonial period anymore. We are a product of the colonial period, but we're not indebted to the colonial period. It's two different things. So mm-hmm. I don't like I even the term Latino and Latin American has its own baggage.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So Latino is a larger umbrella term.
Yeah, to just talk about.
Because you can talk about Brazilians, right? Because they're Portuguese.
Yeah.
Those they're Latinos too.
Pretty much the rest of America, almost.
Latin America.
Yeah. But it's like the term native or Indio or indigenous. Like those terms are activated geographically. So a Brazilian is a Brazilian until he steps foot on the United States. That's when he becomes a Latino in the eyes of the white people, basically. Or no, even us, even within us, you know. But
well, that's the problem with language.
Stupid.
No, it's true, because no matter what you identify as, you're always an other.
Yeah.
You're not European.
Correct.
That's what you're saying.
That's the bottom line.
And that's what I think is the issue. Like,
becoming... That's why I don't like to use that word for anything.
What?
The other.
The other?
Yes. Because by saying the other, you're automatically approving the presence of the one. And fuck that. Or it's like saying the center and the periphery. Like, no. There's no such things. Like, shit works in its own way in the center, and shit works in its own way in the periphery, and we don't have to compare one to the other. You know what I mean? And that's why when people ask me about what I identify for, it's not that I'm against the culture mm-hmm. or what comes with it. It's that I protest the actual terminology.
Yeah.
That's what bugs me about it.
Yes.
So, but I mean, just like everything, it's a fucking performance. I'll be a norteño in Puebla if I have to. I'll
Venga, be paisa.
Ahua.
Ahua.
I'll be a Latino in Vegas, or never a Hispano. A Latino, a Mexicano.
Sometimes people identify as Hispanic, and I want to cringe when they say it.
But it's
like, do you know what you're tying yourself to? You're a slave in your own community. No, no, no.
But it's again, coming back to the caste system, during the colonial period, there were like hundreds of different castes. And
yeah.
All, they have to do with region. So you can be a combination of Chinese and Indian.
So did you break down what a caste is?
Okay. The caste system was implied in Mexico in the 16th century when the Spanish first arrived to Mexico. There was a cleansing of blood process that already existed because of the Inquisitions in Spain. Mm-hmm. So that system wanted to be applied similarly in Mexico. It didn't necessarily work because there were people here from all over the world with different religions. But anyway, so people had to go through a cleansing system, limpieza de sangre, and according to that, you will be placed in your caste, or you will be named something. So you will be named Spanish, Creole, Bárbaro, Chino. There were, again, in paintings, there's only 16 categories. But in general, there were like 200 or something like that, or even more.
Yeah.
But it hasn't changed. When you fill the forms for the U.S. Census,
yeah,
there's still like, I don't know, we can look it up. And there's like, I think like over 100 categories that you can fit in. So the caste system,
you know,
is still
I
in place.
Check? White.
Boom. No problem.
This was Mexico. And I have that privilege. I don't know.
But, wait, what was
you
I
You know
saying?
What? I was talking to my little cousin the other day, and he identifies as white.
That's
and
crazy.
And both of his parents are super Mexican.
Do they warrior? They don't...
I don't know. I need to talk to him again, because...
How old is he?
He's 8.
But see, my... My little sister... I don't know if it was because they gave her, like... How se dice cuando, like, they bully her in school, but she didn't want to speak Spanish, and she didn't want to identify as Mexican. And my nephew, who's 7 years old, she said, I'm not Mexican, I'm an American. I know.
He's voting for Trump.
Me cagué. Wait. But the same thing happened with like a cousin in LA, and now he's like super Mexican. I remember he was eating frijoles in the table and saying, I am not Mexican. And we just gave him a hard time. But he was like 7 or 8 years old.
You know what?
Maybe he'll get over it.
That happens.
It's gross.
Like, for example, me, like, I didn't really identify as anything, right? And then when it's like cool to be Mexican, like,
then you,
oh my God, fusion tacos, like.
I know, that's what...
It's a cool thing.
Like, it's hard. How do you open that conversation with a 7 or 8 year old?
I don't know, but they should start thinking about it.
They need to start talking about it. You're right.
Tough world out there. I'm going to have them on the podcast. No, you know what was really fucked up on Facebook yesterday?
What?
Somebody posted... Oh my God.
Say it.
People don't even know when they're being racist. Okay, because I do a lot of work about food, about tacos. I have a project called Taco Takeover, where I... See how I said taco? Uh-huh. Takeover.
You're adapting.
Taco Takeover.
This is a space where you can switch back and forth.
Oh my God, I just want to relax.
Facebook?
Let's light a candle. Taco Takeover. So on Facebook... So where I document myself eating tacos, right? Taking the taco back, because they took it from us. They take everything. So... Somebody put on there, hey, Favi, thinking about you, what are you going to do for Taco the Mayo?
Gross.
Question mark.
Gross. Oh, Dios mío.
And I said...
Was he or she white?
What do you think?
Girl.
I didn't respond, but I was at lunch with... Oh, shit. I was at lunch with a couple of my friends, and they pointed it out, because I took my notifications off. I'm trying to live my life without my phone going off every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's like, Favi, what do you think about this? And I just... Oh, no, my friend doesn't sound like that. I don't know.
But... Let's assume he does, just because...
I just said, what the fuck? I just said, we don't celebrate Cinco de Mayo. That's a white people thing. Mm. Like, what the fuck? Fuck you. And then this other person... Para acabarla de chingar. Underneath that, he wrote, don't you mean Taco Pendants Day?
Right? No way. Cause
that's so rude.
Like, if you don't know what people celebrate in Cinco de Mayo, shut the fuck up. Like, you don't need to impress anybody. Why do you have to... Like, people say that to me, like, happy Cinco de Mayo. And I'm like...
Do you even know what the fuck it's about?
Yeah. Like, happy... 19th century Mexican forces defeating Napoleon the Third Army? Like, I don't get it. No, it doesn't make
Cinco de Drinko.
Like, yeah.
It's a fucking mockery. Like St. Patrick's Day. I wonder what Irish people think about St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
They're at church.
I wish we had a phone call.
Like, and we're over here.
Caller, please.
Hi.
Yeah, no. No, and it's...
And also, like... What?
Say
I'm,
it.
I'm mad right
Say
now.
It.
No, I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I'm fake mad. But I don't know. Just like now, my identity is like the taco guy. Hey, where's the best tacos? And I did it to my fucking self.
Yes.
Can you believe that? I did it to myself. Right.
But
like doing wait, like doing talk, like talk, doing art about tacos. Right. Because that was my thing for a long time, or it still is.
Well, give a link. So people can listen to it.
Justin,
or look at it.
JustinFavela.net Taco Takeover. It's on the side there on my website.
There's a map and everything, people. It's wonderful.
Google's. It's all recorded on Vine. So they're only like, nobody uses Vine anymore, but you know, that's also what it's about. Like,
why it's not a thing anymore?
I don't know what's a thing anymore. These fucking kids are crazy.
Yeah.
So I forgot what I was talking about. You
did it to yourself.
I did it to myself. Because for a long time, I was playing with the idea of, okay, I'm expected to know all this stuff about Mexican culture.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know a lot of it, right? Like I told you, I identified as Guatemalan. So
didn't somebody ask you about nopales or something?
Yeah, so people started asking me the craziest questions, like, hey, how do you cook nopales? I'm like, I don't fucking know. You buy them at the store and you mix them in eggs? Like, what the fuck do you want me to tell you? Like, yeah, Jesus. So I started making art about that and just, like, making myself known as the expert on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it to myself. But then it's also very offensive to equate somebody to food.
Yeah.
Like you are... Like, I feel like I'm just like a walking piñata taco.
But see, I wouldn't...
Halloween.
Let it out. But see, I wouldn't mind that if I knew the person was equating that to me, knew the origin of corn and tortillas and nixtamal and the beef and the trompo, which comes from the... What is it? Kebab? Or no, the... How do you call it?
The Lebanese.
Yeah, like all of that beautifully rich culture behind something similarly as simple as a taco. But the problem is that that's not the case. They're not acquainting you with that rich multicultural history. They're acquainting you with like the sound of a crunchy taco going into your mouth.
That's a thing. It's like, I kind of like that. It's funny, but at the same time, I'm like, let's talk about something else. There's more important things.
Well, that... Oof.
I mean, tacos... There's going to be a full episode on tacos, because tacos are very important.
Oh, and they're so... Oh, it's a source of life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, gloria a Dios. Yeah. But it's the things, you know... It's the things you face every day. But also... So, there's that part of it, but then there's a part of it where... Food is social. Food is an entry point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes that's nice because I'll be in a room with somebody that I don't have anything in common with, but I could start talking about tacos and they get excited, you know? Because tacos are not just Mexican food anymore. They have become an American cuisine.
A U.S.
Oh, U.S. United States of America food, you know?
And... They said that in order to really know a culture, you have to start with the literature. I disagree. I think it can be through their food, but I don't know. It's tough. And again, those are the kind of questions that they're new to me. Not new. I'm gonna say in the last 15 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
But in my upbringing, I didn't question that. I didn't question that at all. And now I'm obligated to do that. I remember working in a store for maybe 3 years. It was called a museum company. And we carried, I don't know if you ever went there. It was at Caesar's Palace.
Nope.
But we carried merchandise from different museums around the world. So if I was in the... Yeah, I know. Whatever, when I first moved to Vegas, that was my dream store to work at, and I worked there, whatever.
Next.
And I remember we had different cases. It was almost like a Wunderkammer, like a cabinet of curiosity. So we had the Egyptian part of the store, and the Impressionist part of the store. And I kid you not, according to what part of the store I was at, or according to what type of jewelry I was selling to these white people, that's what I thought I was. So I will...
You do look Egyptian from this in this light.
So if I will pull like a necklace from like... that had like a little scarab, and I will do... I will explain the whole thing behind it.
Girl, you Puerto Rican?
Like one girl once told me, oh, you're Mexican? I love Mark Anthony. I was like, what? But anyway, and that's the shit that happened on the strip. Anthony? Yeah, I was like... I just looked at her like she was crazy, and then that's it. But... again, those things were, people assume those things about me, but because I didn't really came from a critical thinking background, I never really paid attention. And it wasn't until grad school that it was like a painful experience trying to really make sense of all of that. And I don't know, it's cool that now we can openly talk about it and hopefully get a discussion going on. Not just between both of us, but people that come into the show and on the website, whatever, you know.
Yeah, and I apologize to a lot of my friends. You know what? I'm not going to apologize, but I'm just going to say race is always on my mind now. So, like, I can't get it out of my head. So
it's exhausting.
It's yeah, I'm so tired. So, my God, let's go get a mocha. Caffeine. Hey. So, no, and we get a mocha for a reason, because where did chocolate come from?
Mexico.
Moctezuma.
Moctezuma frappuccinos. Anyway.
By the way, Mexicans, when you go to Starbucks, stop. I'm just telling you right now, stop ordering caramel frappuccinos. Stop ordering caramel frappuccinos.
Not to play with stereotypes.
Please, break the cycle. So, what was he saying? Oh, I know, some of my friends are like, dude, why are you always talking about race? Why are you always dissing white people? And I'm like, just let, I don't know.
Do
like,
people really ask you that?
Some people. And I'm just like, I don't know, I'm talking about race because it applies, and maybe you don't think about it, but I'm always thinking about it.
And people need to realize when, like, we refer to white people, we don't refer to all of white people in the fucking world. Because people get that shit, like, mixed. It's... when I refer to white people in a certain context, I'm talking about a specific group of people. When I'm talking about white people in another context, in a different group of people, and people don't understand that. They think we're talking about all Europeans and all people from the U.S. and everybody that has fair skin. That's not the case. But, you know, si te queda el saco, póntelo. That's the problem. And that's why they question, like, why are you talking about white people? But anyway. But yes, I mean, it's you can't negate it. Like, race, it's part of our daily negotiations with people. All the time.
I don't see color. Do you like when people say that shit?
No. Nobody has ever said that to me, thankfully. But I'm so...
I don't see color. I have two black friends, so...
I've lost patience. When I heard shit like that, instead of fighting, which I should, or, like, getting mad... like, I just roll my eyes in my head, and I just walk away.
You know what's crazy? I don't see color, but, like, colorism is so real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you not see color? Which get in formation, right? From lightest to darkest. I saw that, Beyonce.
Which is a problem in Mexico, and people don't...
By the way, Beyonce, I love you.
Oh, so, I can't wait.
Okay. That's another thing. We got our tickets, girl!
Oh, yeah! We saved our monies. We gave away all of our funds.
Speaking of Beyonce, we are talking about identity. We haven't talked about sexual identity, right?
That's a whole nother
thing. But that's going to be that's going to be a whole nother episode.
So let's pretend we're just starting. Hi, my name is Babelito.
Hi, I'm Fabi Fab.
And we're both queer voices who Latinos who lunch. I don't know.
Hallelujah.
Two snaps in a circle. In case you didn't notice.
I know.
It's two gay people.
Well, you never know nowadays.
Really?
Oh my god. Yeah. I've been fooled.
Because straight people are appropriating like RuPaul language.
Once... I was at lunch the other day. I eat lunch every day, you guys. I was at lunch the other day, and the straight man was like, and you know what? Girl, he was throwing shade. Like, saying shit like that.
And I was like,
oh, he watches RuPaul's Drag Race. That's nice.
That's what's happened with RuPaul. Yeah. He's created this blanket where everybody's... I don't know, everybody can talk like that. Yeah, like everybody can be under the same blanket and fucking talk the same way. That's so sad. But I mean, I shouldn't say anything because I didn't talk like that either. Like, I shouldn't use words. I didn't use words like shade and girl. And so I'm guilty of it.
Yeah, calm down.
Stupid.
Calm down.
So yeah, there's a lot of layers to it.
There's a lot
of layers, and it's very complicated.
Oof.
And if anything will come out of this adventure, it's going to be specifically that if you will learn something from our silly conversations, will be that identity, it's something extremely complex, that it's something that we do to each other, and it's something that it's... When you contextualize it, there's so many things to it. There's gender, there's history, there's food, there's family, there's pop culture, there's present media, there's the internet, there's social media. So, I don't know, hopefully our future shows will reflect that and really put things in a perspective.
And something that I've been thinking about and that I don't think enough people talk about is as Latino men, we actually do have a lot of privilege that other people don't have. Like,
explain, please.
I'm just saying, like, as a man, I have more privilege than a Latino woman.
Yeah.
And that's something that's not talked about a lot, but I don't think it should be dismissed. Because I can get away with way more stuff.
Machismo is real.
Absolutely. Lee.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it is. Like, I don't know, like, think about, like, I can, you know, like, I have the privilege of being an artist also, right? And, like, talking about this and thinking about this, like, my fucking mom and dad didn't have the time to think about this stuff.
They had to work, yeah.
They had to work. They had to go clean the fucking casino, you know?
Yeah.
They're trying to provide for their family. And I have the privilege to, like, talk about this shit. Like,
to quit your job and
oof. Stuff. Oh, and I forgot to do my taxes this year.
It's a struggle.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, it is. It's important to keep that in mind. And I think we were raised better.
Oh,
and we keep those things in mind.
Yeah, or, like, to be an undocumented person in the United States. Like, there's people that look just like us, have the same amount of education, but they're undocumented.
Yeah.
You know, like, we don't know that struggle.
That shit blows my mind.
We don't know that.
When somebody's undocumented, but their identity is rooted in this fucking region, like, that is crazy to me, but, like, who am I? I mean, I know my history, I know where I came from, and I know how hard my dad worked and my grandparents worked to have me in this situation where I can sit in this couch and talk about this shit with these microphones, but still, like, there shouldn't be these differences, like, in terms of I don't know, like, illegalities with people. I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, keep going.
Yes. So yeah, we're just gonna we're opening up the greater conversation.
That's right.
And I think every episode we want to make it a certain topic.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave some shout outs at the beginning of the podcast with our Latino people, and I think I want to keep doing that every episode. I'm gonna give some shout outs.
Okay.
To podcasts that if you're not listening to, you should at least know about because they are really amazing. And so I'll just go down the line right now. I listen to a lot of black podcasts, like I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
and And the main one that really inspired this one is For Colored Nerds.
For Colored Nerds,
For yes. Colored Nerds is one of my favorites, and it's two black people, a guy and a girl, best buddies, and they pick a topic, and...
Are they queer?
They go off. I don't think so. I think they're both straight, mm-hmm. which is refreshing. All I fucking listen to is queer people. So anyway, like, be quiet. I'm just kidding. Loud and proud. So, no, it's a really great podcast. And, you know, like, some of it's really fun. Like, they talked about Stevie Wonder one episode.
Oh, that was a wonderful episode.
Really serious stuff, like white privilege or... did you listen to the one about the art world? That was really amazing.
No, so, but I listened to the one about the Real Housewives.
Mm-hmm. Very important issues. They're on the pulse. Yeah. So, For Colored Nerds is amazing. And the same realm, like...
The Read.
The Read. Oof. The Read has been one of my favorites.
Same year.
There's Two Guys and a Girl. There's Black Girls Talking.
You listen to a lot more podcasts.
Another Round is amazing with Heaven and Tracy. Shout out. And there's so many. There's so many.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. There's so many options when it comes to podcasts for people of color. But we wanted to do something more specific to our identity, to this idea of being a Latino, or mm-hmm. what does it mean to be a Latino for you or for me? And I don't know, hopefully this is one out of many, 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 many episodes to come.
Yes, shout out. If you have any questions, please send them to latinoswholunch@gmail.com. We might read your questions on the podcast and get some ideas from you. So if you guys know of any Latino podcasts that we should know about, make sure you send them our way, because...
Or blogs,
I'm always looking. We're always looking for our voices.
And if there are certain things that you want us to talk about, or at least allude to during the episodes, please let us know. And yeah, this is awesome.
Oh, one thing. Okay, I don't know how this is going to sound, but... So I listen to a lot of podcasts, and a lot of them are based out of the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that people from the East Coast call all brown people, no matter if they're Puerto Rican, Dominican, Mexican, they call them Spanish people.
Oh, that yes, I've heard that.
Not cool. So, no. Just because you're brown doesn't mean you're Spanish.
No, 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 no.
So, I've heard it on a lot of podcasts.
Oh, I mean, too, and I cringe.
Doesn't it hurt your feelings?
Well, but think about it. If I hate people calling me Hispanic, imagine fucking people calling me Spanish.
So, like, a lot of these...
No, señores.
No. They're Puerto Rican. They're not Spanish.
Or Dominicanos. Or you name it.
Yeah. Anyways. That's just something I had to get off of my chest.
Thank you for that.
Because I hear a lot of people calling... It's just an East Coast thing, because I know I have a friend from Jersey, and she'll say Spanish. Like, oh, you Spanish people are so funny.
Yeah, I don't hear that much here.
Yeah, it's like... Because West Coast people... There's more of us... I don't know if there's more of us.
No, that's not necessarily true.
That's not correct. But, you know, like, we live in Las Vegas, Nevada. Like, yeah.
Nevada,
if you're from here, and if you're
Nevada.
Saying it in English. All right. Anyway.
Okay, well, thank you guys for listening, and hopefully... We'll see you next time. No, not see you, because this is not a fucking TV show.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Bye.
Adios.